It's time to defend our title as the Best Science in Medicine podcast. The podcast award nominations start July 1st, so we need you listeners to get DNA Today nominated at podcastawards.com. DNA Today has won for the past 2 years, and this September, we are celebrating 10 years of DNA Today. All of this is because of your support, and we are so grateful to have such an incredible listener base, including you. We have been up against popular podcasts with huge production companies, which is why as a small independent podcast, we rely on each and every one of you to get nominated and hopefully win again for the third time. So please go to podcastawards.com and select DNA Today in the Science and Medicine category. Pause the show now. I swear it takes 30 seconds to do it. Podcastawards.com, DNA Today in the Science and Medicine category. Thank you oh so much.
How is it that we find ourselves surrounded by such complexity, such elegance?
The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made of DNA.
Hi, you're listening to DNA Today, a podcast and radio show where we discover new advances in the world of genetics. From genetic technology like CRISPR to rare diseases to new research, we have you covered. For a decade, DNA Today has brought you the voices of leaders in genetics. I'm Kira Dineen. I'm a certified genetic counselor and your host. Before you start this episode, I just wanted to mention this is a part two in case you didn't see the title of this episode. This is a continuation of the conversation Janelle, Michaela, and I had about genetic counseling grad school applications. So if you haven't heard the previous episode, I would recommend you go back, listen to that before you continue on to this one. Joining me are two lovely guests to have this conversation. The first guest I have is Michaela Stoker. She is the founder and CEO of GC Prep, where she supports GC applicants, students, and recent grads. Janelle Villers is an assistant program director as well as an alumni of the Sarah Lawrence College Genetic Counseling Program. And she is also co-owner of GC Prep. So thank you so much for coming on and going through genetic counseling grad school. And another question that I don't know if struggled is the right word, but certainly something that I had to face during my applications that Isabella asked about is how should you talk about lower grades or GPA in your application? For me, that was pre-calc and chem. And I was like, I don't want to go into these areas. I want to go into biology within science, but the furthest I can get away from math. So that's kind of like my joking way of answering that, but obviously handled that more fluently during interviews. But I mean, how would you say if people are getting lower grades in certain classes or have a lower GPA? I mean, mine is 3.2. I still got into school because I think other areas of my application was stronger than my GPA. I'm not super book smart, and you don't need to be a genetic counselor in my eyes. But how do you address that? Because obviously grade point average is an important piece of the application. Janelle, did you want to give some insight on this?
Yeah. So just remember why this is important. People want to know, admissions committees, program directors, they want to know that you can handle rigorous coursework. They really just want to make sure that you can be challenged and not drowning, right? That's really what we're looking for. So if you've had some poor grades in some of the more science-related courses, I think it's easier to say, I wasn't really interested in calculus, but guess what? I got better grades in the courses that are more related to genetic counseling, like Kira described. So a really great way to address that. But what if you did get some bad grades in genetics? What if you did get some bad grades in like biochem or, you know, just things that like are more related to what we learn about in as genetic counselors? Every program is a little different. If you find that you have access to free text space where they're like, please comment about anything else you want us to know, right? Some programs have that in their application. That would be a great place to spend some time talking about why. I had a family issue. Something was going on with my significant other. I was like, freshman year was just really bad for me. You'll notice that like my grades got better over time. Whatever that is for you, that would be a great place to address it in the physical application. If there's not a place like that, like free text space, I would take up a couple of sentences, some real estate in your personal statement, addressing it as well. And the idea is that you want to not necessarily just like say like, this is the reason and that's why. You also want to address why you think that that's not a reflection of how you could handle rigorous courses right now.
Yeah.
So if you can prove that you've done another genetics course, like you took another one and then you got like a better grade, it's like you can say why I did poorly, and then guess what, I did it again and I actually have a better grade, and I think this proves that I can handle the rigor. And if there's anything less than retaking the course, again, you're going to have to come up with a reason why you believe that you could handle it now, because that's really what they're concerned about. They're concerned that you're going to arrive and not be able to pass some of the harder science courses. You just need to give them the confidence to know that you can do it. That's what they're looking for.
And actually, that's one of the filters on the map, the program map, is you can filter by schools that require a certain GPA. And so for some people that are coming in with a lower GPA, to boost your success, you might not want to shoot for schools that have a hard cutoff of
3.6. Is it a hard cutoff? Like they won't look at applications?
Some schools have a hard cutoff. The more progressive programs are more holistic, right? And so they might say like, recommended GPA of whatever, but they're a little bit more flexible, right? One of our successful applicants, this was her third time going through, and it was because her GPA was not awesome. And so when we were working together, I could tell in our first meeting together that she was a genetic counselor. She was going to be an excellent genetic counselor.
We get that vibe sometimes immediately. You're yes. Like, oh, yes.
Yes. I was like, you found your people. Good job.
Yep.
You just need to get
into
school. Yep. And so that was a lot of, let's tweak how you answer things. Let's tweak your statement. How can you prove to me that these numbers are not reflective of your future success? And she was successful this year. So that's so proud of her. If you're listening and you know who you are, good job. So proud of you.
It takes some people multiple tries. It is not a reflection that, oh, you won't be a good genetic counselor. Again, some of the best genetic counselors that I know that I looked up to have applied multiple times. And many are vocal about it on Twitter. I think it's great when people feel comfortable to share that. I think we should kind of celebrate more of that. Another aspect, which I kind of touched on earlier, is the financial aspect. So obviously this is a big piece for people. Hope asked, do you have any advice or resources for navigating financial aid? So I don't know if this is more in terms of, because applications are applications, but Janelle, do you want to talk about that there's different ranking for like the scholarship and like that part? Because maybe that would be helpful for Hope to understand and other listeners.
Thinking about this in many different ways, and maybe that's because Sarah Lawrence also deals with a lot of international students. So if you're an international applicant, this might be helpful for you. I would also like to point out that on GC Prep's website, if you go on the website, you will have access to several educational videos that Michaela has also been pointing out. There is a whole section for international students or applicants that I would just love for people to take a look at, because I think it's really informative and it talks about some of those things there too. So I say all that to say, so for those of you that are U.S. citizens, the first thing that you're going to want to put is that you are interested in financial aid. There's usually like a question somewhere about whether you even want to pursue it. And what that looks like is that you're going to have to fill out what's called a FAFSA application.
Just like for undergrad.
Just like for undergrad. Kind of it's essentially your taxes. If you are an international student, they will ask you to send in your taxes from your country, your family's taxes. And based on that, they will decide if you qualify for financial aid. If you're a U.S. citizen, what that looks like is are in the form of student loans. That's essentially what it determines, is if are you qualified for student loans. There are, at some programs, they also have scholarships that are only available to people who qualify for financial aid, aka student loans. And so you only are able to qualify for those scholarships if you, again, send in your FAFSA, your taxes, all that other stuff. And then there are some scholarships and grants that really, that's not a requirement. So it doesn't matter if you qualified for financial aid in that way. So it's really important to look at those things when you're considering your rank order list, because you'll notice that schools will have different tracks. And so there'll be a track that is not associated with any scholarship or grant or fellowship or anything like that. All that means is you will have access to student loans, right? That will be what can help you supplement your finances.
Like through government as opposed to through the specific school.
That is correct. And some state schools have state versions of their own like student loans and stuff like that as well. And then there are tracks for then the scholarship. So it's really important to know, is this a scholarship that's financial, that's needs-based, or they call it needs-based, so you met the financial aid requirement that, again, is made by the government, not made by the school. And then there are scholarships that, again, don't require that. And so for international students, you're going to want to focus on those scholarships that don't require financial need. For those that are in the U.S., you do want to take a look at that, because then you'll know whether you qualify for those or not. And so then on your rank order list, depending on your financial situation, it's important to rank in that way. So let's say you have three schools that are like your favorite, school A, B, and C. And school A has a track with a scholarship that you know you could qualify for, and you're really excited. You know that you need some scholarship money or some sort of financial aid. You cannot pay for this on your own. You would put the track for the scholarship for school A first, and then you'd put the track for the scholarship for school B second, and then the track for the scholarship for school C third, and then kind of follow the same thing as you move down. Maybe it's a large scholarship, and then small scholarships, and then no scholarship, or something to that extent. The other thing I want to make sure people understand is some people think like, oh, I don't want to rank the scholarship track because that will lessen my chances of matching with the program. That is not how this works. That is not true. All you've done by not ranking the scholarship is removed yourself from even the possibility of receiving the scholarship. Because if you're high on the list for the scholarship and the school did want to give it to you, because you didn't put it on your rank order list, you won't match for it. And so they wanted to give you the money.
Scholarships first. Yes. Yes.
If you wanted it and then like you like took yourself out of it. So please understand, you do not, I want to make this very clear, you do not decrease the chances of you matching with a program by not putting the scholarship. So in essence, the reverse of that statement is, please rank the scholarships if that is important for you.
Yes, that's certainly what I did. And some schools have multiple different tracks to rank, and some may only have like two, like scholarship, no scholarship. So every school is a little bit different, which makes it, I think, a little confusing when talking about it. But when you actually go to rank it, you're like, oh, you're just moving these in an order. And you're like, okay, scholarships first. But also keeping in mind, like, say you really want to go to a school and you'll go there even if you don't have the scholarship, as opposed like preferred versus the other schools with a scholarship, then maybe you'll do that first. Hi, listeners. I want to take a moment to address the June 24th Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights. To learn more about what you can do to help, go to podvoices.help. I also recommend listening to episode 191 of DNA Today. We recorded it days after Roe was overturned. Expert Laura Hersher shared her much-needed insight, especially how this affects genetic counselors like myself. We encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word. PerkinElmer Genomics is a global leader in genetic testing, focusing on rare diseases, inherited disorders, newborn screening, and hereditary cancer. Testing services support the full continuum of care from preconception and prenatal to neonatal, pediatric, and adult. Testing options include sequencing for targeted genes, multiple genes, the whole exome or genome, and copy number variations. Using a simple saliva or blood sample, PerkinElmer Genomics answers complex genetic questions that can proactively inform patient care and end the diagnostic odyssey for families. Learn more at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. So I think my last question, it's a general question, and I say my question, but it's also Emily's question. What's one thing you wish you did differently when you're applying, which you guys were, you were pre-match, right? You applied before me, I think. So your experience was a little bit different. I was the first year of match, which I feel like will forever follow me and age me over time. So any advice on things you would do differently other than using the GC Prep map now that that's available? I think that's been a big thing that I would do differently now if I was reapplying.
Practice. I had 5 interviews, and the first one was like terrible. Unsurprisingly, I was rejected. but my second one, which was the very next day, went excellently, and I matched there and was my top choice after.
Amazing. So it was your practice day.
Yes, the first one is like a pancake or a first child. Like they're a little weird, right?
So, yeah, you know. I'm the first child. I think listeners can agree I'm a little weird. So yeah, definitely.
I've got 2. The first one's a little weird, right? It's just, again, there are different skills when it comes to interviewing for a program versus a job. Practice ironing out those answers so you're not just giving the what, but you're getting down to the how. And that's really where like mentorship or coaching can really, really be helpful. Because what I saw was a pattern of, I'd meet with a student and we'd chat for a little bit to find out what they were concerned about. And I'd be like, this person has great traits of a genetic counselor. They seem really, warm and we're connecting. And then as soon as I launched them a practice interview question, like the wall went up, right?
And yep, I think they freeze up, they get awkward.
Perfection. Yeah. So totally normal. Just be aware you're going to have to push through that wall, but it's better to like push through that wall in a safe space beforehand rather than when you're trying to like do your interview in real life, right? And so that is what mentoring and coaching like GC Prep and other places can offer, is so that your first interview is not really your first interview.
And even if you don't have access to GC Prep or other things, which I highly recommend, but you can also, or in addition to GC Prep, do things like having a friend or something interview you. And I think that's helpful just to have that practice there. And one tip I got from a mentor, Ellen Matloff, who's a genetic counselor in the field, she said, come up with 5 specific stories, experiences that you can pull from and just like, knock them off during your interview. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk about, for me, it was like talk about the podcast. I'm going to talk about my grief camp experience. I'm going to talk about my lab experience. And I had specific cases or stories, which each of those. So during the interview, I would tick them off in my head so that I'm also speaking from multiple experiences and I'm not nervous because they asked me a question. Usually they're pretty generic questions. So you can say, okay, I'm going to pick this. And then you just go into it. So I found that took a lot of pressure off myself when I was like, okay, I have these 5 things that I want to talk about during interviews. And I'm not just constantly talking about one, like I'm only talking about my shadowing experience. Like there's more to me than that. So I definitely recommend that too. I think even people that have listened to this podcast for a long time, like some people go back and they're like, yeah, I listened to episode 1. I'm like, oh my God, why would you do that? I was a baby and I didn't know what I was doing with podcasting. And so I think that's also something like you're just going to improve over time. And confidence is key. I think, fake it till you make it kind of thing. Like you just like you prep yourself up and you're like, okay, I've got this. I've got the confidence. I've got the energy. I'm really eager about getting this. And that will certainly come off during the interview.
We do have a video on interviewing, right? And how to like evaluate your experiences and how to think about like preparing general talking points of these different experiences before you go in, right? And so that's a good one for people to watch if they're like, how do I even like organize everything that I've gone through and experienced to like be able to enter this interview?
Especially if you're not like a good storyteller, like I get lost in the middle of my story with friends and like they know and they're like, okay, this is where you left off. Like, let's go back to that. Janelle too. Yes. Yeah. I can attest to that. Knowing some of Janelle's stories. I love it, but it's a ride. So I think that's also a really good thing. And also, just want to say I have watched some of Michaela's videos and she's as eloquent as she is on this podcast. So I definitely recommend watching those and engaging too. It's not like, okay, watching a boring business video, like you make it engaging. But anyway, I've been talking a lot. Janelle, anything else to add for just what you wish you did differently? Any other advice you've seen from just so many applicants over the years?
Okay, I'm going to speak to anybody who is BIPOC. So anyone who is Black, Indigenous, person of color. I wish I would have had a mentor who looked like me. I didn't know that those people existed, kind of have been educated in predominantly white spaces my entire life. And so kind of walked into this one thinking that, I've done it before, do it again. But if I could go back and do something differently, I think I would have wanted to reach out to someone who looks like me just to have someone that I could talk to who could give me some guidance, some feedback, some support, and to let me know, like, you're on the right track, you're doing the right thing, that kind of a thing. But I didn't even know that that exists. So I will give a huge shout out to the Minority Genetic Professionals Network. It's MGPN. You can find them on Instagram as MGPN. They have a mentorship program. So you, as an applicant, you can be linked to genetic counselors in the field who look like you. So if that's something that interests you, I would definitely do that. That's one thing I think I would do differently.
I highly recommend the Minority Genetics Professional Network, just to say it again so that people are processing that. Fantastic organization. And I have a lot of friends that are involved, and I just hear fantastic things, especially about that mentorship aspect. I think there's other things in terms of just supporting each other, but the mentorship is fantastic. And I think that also just brings up a good point that we are a profession that is primarily cis, straight, white women. And that's something that we're starting to see shift, but not as fast as I would like. And I think a lot of genetic counselors would like to see. So we certainly want to encourage that. And I really hope that we can do that and just have more people that are coming from different walks of life and in so many different ways. And I know, Michaela, in one of your videos, you were talking about how, like, you know, using different terms like minority versus using other terms. So I think just to kind of include everybody that doesn't fit into that bucket of cis, straight, white woman, I think that's something, like, we need people that are outside of that because that's how the field started, but we really need to diversify more, and that's only going to strengthen our profession and able to help patients more too. So I'm really glad you brought that up, Janelle. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And on that note too, just as an extension of that, if you are Black, then there is Golden, which is not just mentorship, but actual, like, coaching, what GC Prep offers, but Golden does it for Black applicants for free, right? So don't miss that opportunity. Some excellent, very well-known genetic counselors are running that. So if that's a group that you fit into, definitely use that resource. And
shout out to Grace and Barbara who started that. Yeah, I will add on to that where you can find them on Instagram. So on Instagram, they're Golden2, and Golden stands for, if you're like, what does that even stand for? It's the Genetic Opportunities Leadership Development Education Network.
Networking. Probably. Okay. Yes.
So
good job. That was hard on the spot there.
Yes, I've been working on that because I've also been like, wait, what does that stand for? So anyway, but I just want people to know where to find them. I just, so that way they don't necessarily have a website as of right now. That could change come September, but right now you can find them on social media.
Fantastic. And we're going to have links in the show notes. So things that we've mentioned throughout the episode, if you guys are like driving or you're biking, like, please do not get into an accident over this. or if you're washing dishes, you don't have to pause this. I'm always washing dishes with podcasts. So you can just go to the show notes. So if you're listening to this in Apple or Spotify or the major podcast app, you just swipe left and then the show notes appear, or you can go to dnapodcast.com and click on the link for this episode, and then we're gonna have all the show notes there as well. So we'll include both of those.
And if we have just one more minute, and while we're on the subject of diversity, genetic counseling, as you mentioned, Kira, right, middle class, white, straight, cis, middle income, upper middle class, that was the formation of this profession. And still, that is how a lot of, like, the counseling techniques are taught. There's a right white way, unfortunately, right? And for people entering the fields, like, I had no concept of this when I was entering the field, and it feels embarrassing, you know, to say that. But now it's important for all applicants, whether you're white or not, straight or not, however you identify, all of us that are kind of in this younger generation of genetic counselors, we must work to make this a more inclusive, more diversified, more accepting space. Because I think something that appeals to most people about genetic counseling is, like, oh, this profession. has these tenets of being very accepting and judicious to all of our patients and wanting to help everyone. And like, hooray for that idea. But in practice, we've been really bad at it as far as who we've accepted to be genetic counselors. And that is a reality that people of color, people of underrepresented groups are facing as they enter the field. And it's also a reality that white applicants need to accept as well, that our demographic has made this more difficult and that there are policies and teaching methods in place that directly benefit me and make it more difficult for my classmate to succeed. So we all need to work together to make a better future in genetic counseling. So that's my perspective as like a white person. But Janelle, do you want to like bring your side of this in as well?
Oh, I think we're going to need a whole other podcast. I would just like to give a ton of snaps to my co-conspirator, Michaela. One of the reasons why I decided to partner with Michaela for GC Prep is because of one of her biggest visions, which is to allow people from underrepresented groups access to our educational videos. We understand that those people who reach out to genetic counselors, right, and get mentorship from them are probably people who are overrepresented or like the majority, if you will. And so we understood that we could be only like making that even more of a difference between the two. And so this is one of the ways that we are trying to create equity, right, and give it so that way people have access to the same information without maybe some of the barriers that might be there for those individuals. So I am proud to be a part of an organization, company that has that type of mission, and recognize that those who are paying, right, like it, what a privilege that you're able to do that, because you get to pay, you're actually helping to make it equitable for others, so that way we can all enter the field together.
And we do have a goal, you know, right now our coaching services are paid, and we've made those services as inexpensive as possible. I don't even know if it's like long-term fiscally going to work out for us, because we price them as low as we possibly can. But we still know they're still require payment. And our goal as a company is to add some type of nonprofit arm to our branch, so that we can take donations that are tax deductible and, you know, get this free coaching and mentorship to people who are underrepresented and have financial needs. So, you know, on that note, if there is anyone out there who wants to donate to that cause and helping us get that off the ground, please contact me, because at this point, it's our company resources that are holding us back from being able to like set up that new arm of the business. But if there's anyone who wants to sponsor that and be part of offering these services to underrepresented groups, let us know.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how GC Prep grows. It's very exciting that you're offering this. This is something that's very much needed in the community. You know, just as we provide information on DNA today, you guys are doing it more on a one-on-one basis, which is fantastic. And as a thank you, listeners, for sticking with us and listening to these episodes, I want to offer you 20% off at GC Prep. Again, we haven't actually said the address, the website, gcprepllc.com. So you guys can get 20% off. Just use our promo code. It's the same for every sponsor we have, DNA Today. So definitely encourage you guys to do that. Michaela was very gracious and allowed me to watch some of her videos. And I have to say, as I said before, she's really good. So I really definitely recommend it for everybody. And thank you, Janelle and Michaela, for coming on and geeking out with me and also answering so many of our listener questions. These are ones that, you know, I'm constantly bombarded with questions, which I love, but it's great when other people can provide information on it, because I have only one perspective I'm coming from. So thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so thankful. Yes.
Thank you. Agreed. Glad to be here and really appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, of course. Love these episodes. Did you know PerkinElmer Genomics was one of the first laboratories to offer whole genome sequencing on a clinical basis? whole genome sequencing can maximize clinical diagnostic yield for patients. With turnaround time of 4 weeks for the proband sample, PerkinElmer's whole genome sequencing test is designed to provide access to additional valuable information compared to an exome. PerkinElmer also offers prenatal whole genome sequencing as well as ultra-rapid whole genome sequencing for critically ill newborns using dried blood spots. The ultra-rapid genome has a turnaround time of 5 days and includes mito, chromosomal CNV analysis, STR-TNR screening, and biochemical analysis. Also, listen back to episode 176 with Dr. Madhuri Hegde, where we explore the power of whole genome sequencing, which also happens to be one of my favorite episodes of DNA Today. And stay tuned for a couple more episodes with PerkinElmer soon. Discover all that PerkinElmer Genomics has to offer at PerkinElmerGenomics.com. Don't forget to help us defend our title as the best science and medicine podcast. Go to podcastawards.com and select DNA Today in the science and medicine category. And here's a bonus. If you tweet or post that you nominated DNA Today and, of course, tag us, then we will share your post and give you a shout out on the show as a thank you. Again, that's podcastawards.com, DNA Today for the science medicine category. You have the power to get DNA Today nominated again. So please go nominate us. I'm begging you. Podcastawards.com. For more information about today's episode, visit dnapodcast.com, where you can also stream all episodes of the show. We encourage your questions, comments, guest pitches, and ideas. Send them all into info at dnapodcast.com. Search DNA Today on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, so you can connect with us there. And a favor, please rate and review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This truly helps us climb the charts and allow more genetic nerds like yourself to find the show. DNA Today is hosted and produced by myself, Kira Dineen. Our social media lead is Corinne Merlino. Our video lead is Amanda Andrioli. Thanks for listening, and join us next time to discover new advances in the world of genetics. The genes of you and me, the genes of you and me, we're all made of DNA. We're all made of the same chemical DNA. We're all made.